Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 112, part 2 of Vain Showing. Today is Sunday, August 30th, 2009. Hello, thank you for joining Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. A bit about Pastor Paul's mission. You know, the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota. Why do I say that? Because we have no boundary restrictions. So if you live in Minnesota, you can come to Pastor Paul's, and we're located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue. It is located at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also visit us online to get a little bit more information about Pastor Paul's, and that address is www.pastorpaul.org. You can also make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can also join our community, and at the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to the blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. You can leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony at the blog. And there you're also going to find the show notes to Pastor Paul's podcasts, where you can leave those comments, make those suggestions, or give a testimony. You're also going to find scriptures to the messages located in the show notes, so be sure to check out those scripture links. Also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. If you've been following Pastor Paul's podcast, you know that we do have two parts. Each message is broken down into two parts. One is aired on Friday. I try to post it Friday by evening and on Sunday as well. So be sure to listen to both parts of the message. And I hope you're getting a lot out of them. I know I am. Now, this month, the month of August, I'm going to give you a quick rundown of some titles of the messages that we're going to post this month. Where He Leads, I Will Follow. Jesus, the Light of Men, Faint but Not Faint of Heart, A Vain Showing. Those are some of the messages for the month of August. Well, August in Minnesota is really nice and hot. It's a great month to come and visit. So again, I'm encouraging you, if you are from out of town, come on in and enjoy some Minnesota hot weather. And at the end of the month, a little sign that summer has come to an end for us in Minnesota is the Minnesota State Fair. We call it the Minnesota Get Together. It is the best, the best. I'm going to leave a link all month in the show notes to the Minnesota State Fair. I've been going to the fair forever. I'm not quite that old forever, but I love the fair. It's so much fun. You can do everything at the fair. Be sure to check out their site map. Okay, that's it for me. I will see you back here on the intro for September. I hope you have a great month and listen to each of his messages this month. They're absolutely going to be the best. God bless you. Have a great month.
Forgetting those things that are past and pressing forward towards a high mark, the calling in Christ. Get the idea tonight. Get it. Mr. Big blows his trumpet on the way through. Mr. Know-it-all He blows his trumpet. Toot, 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 toot. You ever talk to somebody that knows everything? You know what to do? Just shut up. And then go do what you were going to do. Because they know everything. And if you ask them one question, they'll give you a whole book of answers. Why can't you just answer the question yes or no? I don't want to have a whole book on this thing. God, yes or no, huh? Oh, are you hearing this? Oh, wear us out, will you? Bore us to death. It's just passing. Yes or no. And keep on going. Yes and no. And yes and no. And yes and no. And yes and no. And keep moving. Discern the time is passing. Discern the time. It's passing away. Tick tock, tick tock. It's passing away. Oh God, why did it come tonight? Why did I turn on the radio? This message is just for me. Someone called. Someone told. Oh! And Mr. Mad blows his horn on the way through. You ever seen Mr. Mad? Mr. Mad is a person that's always got to have something to be mad about. And while they're passing through, let's look at the call of witnesses watching these people passing through, and they're vanishing more. Now they start out as babies and they're mad. Some people are born that way. It's true. Born mean. Huh? Then they're little kids and they're mean. Huh?
What's nice about today? I hate today.
Huh? And they gotta find something to be mad about. Does it seem that way? Doesn't it? Find an excuse to be mad. And they're just think what a sight you are as you're vanishing. And you know what? People are praying that you vanish all the more quickly. God, take him. Take him away. Take him from my sight. Deliver me from him. Actually, what they're saying is, take him. Surely every man walketh a vain show. Let's get the idea of this procession tonight in hand. Get it? And then we start to catch a hold of the thought which David wants you to. It all passes. It all passes and it all passes away. There's another day. Today has enough troubles of its own. There's another day. Don't get caught up in the temporal things. Don't get caught up in the lamps and the doilies and the knickknacks. Don't get caught up, dust them once a month and forget them, okay? Better yet, buy an air hose and blow them up with a fast little job and go on with your life. Don't get caught up with the cares of this world, with the moth and the rust and the decay sets in. It's all passing away. Go in the grocery store and everything looks like, oh, doesn't this look good? Yummers, I'm so hungry. You leave that grocery store for a couple of months and go back in there, everything would be in a great big slimy mess all over. It's passing away. But if you get a hold of this idea tonight, can you grab it? Then you can dispel your next complaint. Well, wait a minute. This is just a parade. This is temporal. This is a mirror that we see dimly. This is not reality. This is a temporal thing that'll pass away. We're in a new realm now. We're in the realm of hope, and we're in the realm of expectation, and we're in the realm of exercising faith in things not seen but hoped for. You get that down, you can dispel your worry. And you can dispel the next fear that you're already planning. Do you know people plan their fears? Well, what if this happens? And what if that happens? What if this and what if that? Some people get so nervous they bite their toenails. Right? How many are hearing this? And it's only temporal. If you grab a hold of the message I'm giving here tonight, my God, I don't want nothing to hinder this, and that's why I got on them gals. They come in every Friday night and take a look around, see who's here, and then bomb out. You know what I'm saying? It's temporal. Oh, Jesus, have us to look beyond this. Have us tonight to realize what we're really into. We're into the Spirit of God. Remember this in the parade, you're being watched. David then speaks of the life as a worry, and he says, surely they are disquieted. Oh, God. Whew. And they are. How few, I thought, are free from the spirit of the things of this world as to pass through this life quietly. Several times I've been in situations where I should have been totally wiped out in the natural, I would have been. And I thought, my God, I'm so quiet. Thank you, Jesus. The anointing of quietness is upon me. And I thought, ooh, this is neat. This is really something. Everything is going upside down and inside now, and I have learned to be content in whatsoever state I am in. Are you hearing this message tonight? I'm content. I don't have anything. I'm only living in one room, and the toilet don't work. Icebox works half of the time, but I'm content. I've learned to cope. I just don't buy too many perishables. Oh, hey, learn to be content. Learn not to be disquieted by looking at the temporal things of this world and concerning yourself too much with them, or friends, or what people say, or the crowd. Things that cause a disquieting in your spirit. The rumbling and the yelling and the baseness of the people. No, I'm just really afraid here tonight that there's a very noisy group of us. But if we could just once live up there like Paul did in the eternities, just think of it and come back here. Oh, God. It would cure us of all the fuss and fume and fret and frumps and gripe and grab and grump and grumble. We'll just take care of everything, wouldn't it? You know what? God will give you a foretaste of His glory to come. You hunger and thirst after righteousness, and God gives you a vision. Man of God listening on the radio here, God gives you a vision, and you follow after that vision and after the plan and purpose that God has got in your life. God will give you a peek into the heavenlies. I'll never forget when I first was seeking the Lord with all my heart, mind, and soul, very first in my ministry. When God came into my room and there was the aura of light. It's called Shekinah glory. It was like gold dust floating all over in the room. Another time when an audience of some 500 people and different people in the parts of the audience, they saw two huge angels on either side of me. They didn't know each other. God gave me a hope and He gave me that vision. Oh, Jesus. There's more people. God, we've got to start looking at that more of it, don't we? Say amen, somebody. Things are not always like they look. But then we live from one moment to the next, don't we? When I wonder if people like me today or next. Do they like me today? And one day you're fine with it. Oh, people like me. The next day you're worried whether they like you or not. We live from one complaint to the next complaint. One nervous fit to the next nervous fit. One fear to the next fear, and one mad to the next mad. The work of this world, if carried on only as for the world, is described so well here. It says, surely they are disquieted in vain. Oh, God. They begin their life eager for its joys and honors and its wealth, but then you see them laboring and toiling and sweating and plodding. Some get wealth and they worry about that wealth. Well, what good is it? They worry about losing it altogether. And they worry about making more. And I thought to myself, is that really living? Some wear themselves out then with envy of the rich. One of the most wearing passions is envy. So many times you'll see a girl, oh, I just hate her, and she's a little petite little thing. I can't stand her. Yip, 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 and they get yipping on somebody. It's the same with men, isn't it? Huh? Envy. Oh, and the book of life tells us, having food and raiment, they are not therewith content. They're like a hobo that has one great walking stick, you see. And he's going along fine with this, and he's got 11 others on his back. And you say, well, now why have you got those 11 others with you? Well, this stick is such a neat stick, I thought I'd carry 11 more. You only need one. Why carry a whole lot of burdens you don't have to carry? Well, this one helps me so much, I thought. Better take 11 more with me. I was watching at a picture, and they showed in this picture on the TV about stock market people and how they train them in. They were yelling and screaming and buying and selling. I thought, surely this is like the pit. And I thought to myself, what makes it even crazier is, all this is but a shadow. It's not reality. Up four, down five. Give me a stock over here. I'm buying. I'm selling. Over here, cut, move, huh? And it was all shadows. It wasn't reality. It was all in this very crazy parade, this passing by. All these men seemed alive, but the Lord spoke to me, they're shadows, don't you see? They're sincere. They're a perfect picture of life, competition and complaining. But every win, the Lord says, may develop into a greater loss. Surely they are disquieted in vain. They're all upset in vain. They wouldn't have to be upset. They're disquieted in vain. What good is it to get all upset? It's in vain because it isn't going to do you any good. Because see, it isn't real. It's a passing through. It's a passing on. It's a going over. It's a becoming invisible day by day, step by step, precept upon precept. Surely they are disquieted. Oh, God, for a little quiet. Oh, for a little time to think. Oh, for opportunities to get near to God and rid us of all of our thoughts and all of our ways. And then to go away feeling patience mingled with joy. And joy with the expectation of unutterable bliss. Oh, God. Helping us then to really live instead of being disquieted. In vain. All for nothing. Getting all excited. All for nothing. Being disquieted in our spirit. All for nothing. All for nothing. All for nothing. Oh, if I would have known this years ago. that all of my disquieting thoughts were in vain, when I could have had unutterable bliss by simply trusting in the Lord and saying, Lord, you are the only thing that is real. I put my hope and I put my trust in thee. Oh, it's just passing.
But you don't know the troubles I'm in.
I'm telling you, hey, I've had a few of my own, and it is passing. And what looks like it's such a terrible burden today will be, why did I worry about that? It's a passing thing.
No, I'll never forget this. It's my first love ever. No. No, don't tell me that. I don't want to hear it. I've heard it. It always hurt.
I love like that, you know. You do? You love yourself like that. You don't love like that. You love yourself, and so you're concerned about yourself and about the love that you thought you lost, and it's just a shadow. Hey, I hate to tell everybody this, but it is. The Bible backs it up. It's just a shadow. And when you're disquieted in vain. You don't have to be disquieted. You don't have to be blue. You don't have to be down. You don't have to be lonesome. It's in vain. It won't do you no good. How many heard that? Now, you don't live with my husband. She doesn't know. You don't know what you're talking. He's passing. He's becoming invisible. Well, probably to you more every day. You hardly know he's around. You care less. See him in somebody? Did I hit a nerve someplace? I hope so. How many are hearing this message tonight? All in vain. Oh God, help me with the rest of this message. But he mentions people who were supposed to have a successful life. I looked in the obituary column. The rich and the poor were in there. Oh God. Some of them had their pictures, see, because they were so-and-so founded so-and-so this company and so on for so many years. And you just glance at it and so what, right? He has no more than the man that had nothing because he had nothing because they both were shadows. And they lay them down in this box and they tie a ribbon around their toe and they put them in this morgue thing and they pull them out and they cut the back of the soup and they drape the suit around them, throw some half-cut socks on them and some shoes with the backs cut out. Somebody comes in and does up their hair and you couldn't tell the difference between the rich and the poor. And they can't take all the wealth with them. They can't take nothing with them. And their relatives are waiting to steal what they did have. It's like a rotten apple, worth nothing to the world. Whew. But even when a man is successful in heaping up riches, see how David describes it. Oh, this is good. He heapeth up riches. Oh, David is disgusted because he sees this by the Spirit. But you know what he's saying? That's all he does. He heaps it up. That's it. Hey, heapers. That's all you're doing, don't you know? You're heaping it. Nothing else. You're going to leave a heap behind, fella. Ooh, he merely heaps him up. Boy, look at the heap he left. He accumulates without enjoyment. So heap away. Hey up, boy, heap away. Heap away. Heap away. Hey up, boy, heap away. Heap away before you leap away. Hey up, boy. He heapeth up. Heap it. And the bigger your heap, it'll give you no more comfort It will only add to your anxiety of taking care of it. You're in a heap of trouble. But when the riches are used for the glory of God, don't you with a quarter sitting here think I'm just talking to the rich people. You can squeeze a quarter until it yells. You heaped up a quarter. Some people heap up $1.75 and they tie it in a little tight handkerchief and they hide it someplace. Nobody's going to get it. But what good is a bigger heap? David also says about the heaper uppers, he knows not who shall gather them. No, you don't know who's going to gather up your heap, fella. Can't tell. Once you're gone, you ain't got no control over it. In other words, you heap up and you have no security. And people right now, it says in the end time, is going to start heaping up gold and silver all over the nation. But who will get the gold? Maybe that nephew of yours. Maybe your mother-in-law. Oh, God forbid. Maybe that no good brother, that conniving sneak. Oh, I just laugh at you because you could just about die thinking about your heap. You just keep right on heaping, and some old Goldilocks will come along, and you'll find them eating your porridge. You'll find them eating, sleeping, and sitting in your chair, and sleeping in your bed. Don't look now, fella, but you are vanishing right in front of your heap. Did you ever see them old Wolfman shows when it shows all of them? Huh? Well, just put that in reverse. And you vanish. And pretty soon you're only about this tall. Hey.
Squeak. Beep. Beep. Boop.
That's it. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to. You're just going to be a little pipsqueak one day and vanish away. Don't do any of these things in vain. Don't be disquieted and dismayed and discouraged. Mad. It's all in vain. Fading fast, fella. Better get right with God. Going, going, gone. And the only thing that remains is your heap as a testimony against you. Isn't that a sad picture for those that aren't saved and listening? And you saved. How big is your claim by faith heap? Better decrease so he can increase in your life. That's what. Heapomaniacs, repent. How many are hearing this? But now notice how David expresses his own emotions in this contemplation of what I've just talked about in these things tonight. First, he comes to a decision. After turning over all of this like we have tonight, he expresses his own feelings and he says something that is so fantastic, oh God. And now, Lord, and he's summed it all up and then he says, and he gets in a conversation with God by the Holy Ghost. And now, Lord, and what a great way to put it. You come to the Lord with a now, and now what do I do? You know how the Lord comes to us, don't you? He says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Now, Lord, I see the vanity of this world. Now, Lord, the pretense of the acting and the sham. Now, Lord, show me the way. Now, Lord, guide me now, Lord. I see it all so plain now, Lord. But also he consults with the Lord. Every man walketh in a vain show. Only you are reality, O Lord. Only you can save me from this evil world, O Lord. You have the words of eternal life, I hear a saint pass by say as he vanished off into eternity, into reality. Someone told me not too long ago, well, you know, Pastor Paul, you only live once. And I said, how true, how true. You only die once too, and then comes the judgment. Don't waste time, I says, it's passing you by. From the crib to the crawl to the walk to the run to the I'm not as young as I used to be to the limp and then to the lay and then to the pass away. And so goes your life. It's passing by. Say amen, somebody. Don't get all melancholy about it. Say praise the Lord. God, praise Him. Hallelujah. My God, people, heed the warning. Stop wasting time. Be not only hearers of the word, but the Bible says, be ye doers also. In other words, the saying, hear and then do. Listen, it's saying, and obey. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you now. Time's a-wasting. And also then you can see that David feels that he is out of place because he says, Lord, what wait I for? I thought that was kind of neat. Sort of a confession. Well, now I've said all this and I've reasoned you, but what am I hanging on to? What wait for I? What am I waiting on? What, Lord, what wait I for? I see all this. I have a revelation of the truth. But now, Lord, I have become like a fish out of water. And I feel kind of odd and kind of awkward. I have the truth, but I don't know how to put it to work. And then he goes on and he says, but my hope is in thee. Have you had this revelation yet? That there is no hope outside of the Lord, outside of the Holy Ghost. I have no earthly expectations, he seems to say. But I say, my soul, wait thou only upon God. For my expectation is from Him. Nothing can here ever fulfill me, nothing. It's a dead issue. And the Bible says we are not inhabitants of this country. We are citizens of the New Jerusalem, which is above, and which, by the way, is coming down. We are only shipwrecked here for just a little while, but soon we shall cross over, it says, cross over that river. We're headed towards that Christ Jesus, who the Bible says is the river of life that is flowing out through you. He's the one that flows out through you and makes a river for you to pass over. I can do all things well through Christ. Oh, you're passing over as the river of life that issues forth from you, and you pass over on that. Our forerunner to heaven is Jesus Christ, the river of life flowing out through us. Lastly, now in closing, David offers a very appropriate, I think a needful prayer, and he says, deliver me from all my transgressions. Isn't that beautiful? Make me not the reproach of foolish, of the foolish, talking about foolish people. None of you listening to me tonight know how long you're going to be here. What then is your request? David puts down what he wants and listen to it. No, I heard someone say over the radio. No, see, David wants to be delivered from all of his troubles. No, he never mentions his troubles. You read that verse, he never mentions, and I've heard people say, he was in trouble, he wanted to be delivered out of all his troubles, and so, no, he says, deliver me from all my transgressions. He didn't pray, deliver me from my headache, and my heartache, and my limp, and my depression of spirit, and my downtime. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Didn't say anything about his financial reverses. or an ache or a pain. Nothing of the sort, nothing. The prayer of the godly man is, deliver me from all of my transgressions. A godly man knows that he is a sinner, and he prays that, my God, every day. First, he prayed for it to be deliverance from sins committed. Lord, put all my sins away so that I may be clean in every whit from every sin that I have ever committed. Can that be? Someone says on the radio, of course. The precious gospel message of Jesus Christ can deliver you every way wit. God can deliver you. The precious blood of the Lamb can wash away the most wicked sinner's sin. Oh my God, he can do it. A perfect washing, lacking nothing, and you'll never be disquieted again. Next, he prays to be delivered from the assaults of sin. And I hear someone saying, well, I'm not really tempted. Oh my God, you are in trouble. Go have a checkup quick. You are dead. My daily prayer must be deliver me from all my transgressions. But David also prayed to be delivered from peculiar sins. Ones that were his own. Ones he wrestled with. Deliver me from all my transgressions. He didn't leave any of them out. I'm afraid we all have special sin that we have trouble with. Is that not true? Some tendency. Call it hereditary. Bible says sins that so easily beset us. Some are tempted to great depression. Some are tempted to get depressed. Go ahead, the tempter says, get depressed. You're down, you're blue, you're lonesome. Nobody loves you, you got a whole bunch of kids. Doing this all by yourself. Listen to this. There's some woman on the radio that's having trouble here. She's got all these kids at home. And no man around the house. And, you know, she's just bitter over it. She just hates men. Oh, I hate men. I hate them. I mean it, I hate them. I don't want to ever see one. I don't want to see one again. One walks by. Pulls the shades, takes a look out there. I mean, you know, say amen, somebody. Sins that so easily beset us. Whew. Oh, God. Some are tempted to become angry. Get angry. Get mad. Put on your favorite act. Get your mouth moving just right. Get them thin, bitter lips. Get your eyebrows all knit up. Look mean. Make everybody jump. And you know what? They do that. Sort of a game they play. It's a spirit that gets on them. Get angry. You're supposed to be mad. Not just get mad. No, wait for them to say just the right thing. Good morning. That's it. They said the right thing. Ah! Oh, what? Lord, deliver me from all of my transgressions. Pray it every day. Recognize you're just walking through. Recognize it's a parade of life. Recognize it's but a shadow. Recognize you're heading for reality. Recognize when you become more invisible and more invisible and more invisible, it's because it's that great light. This world right now is a darkened world. But as you become more light, that's why you can't see Jesus, because he's all light. All right. Whew. The more you see him, the more invisible those things become, and those sins become that so easily beset you. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Could you receive more light, and the things of earth grow strangely dim. Glory to God. In the light of his glory and grace. Oh, my God, I hope you're hearing this message tonight. Oh, God. Some are tempted to be misers and some are tempted to be spendthrifts. But Satan knows us all. So, Lord, deliver us from all our transgressions. But David again prayed for the deliverance of a deserved dishonor. You ever had something you deserved? You know you deserved dishonor and you were afraid, oh God, I did this and I know. God, please, please, please don't dishonor me. Oh God, I did this. Don't let anybody know about it. God, please, God, oh God, don't let anybody find out. Please, 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 don't tell anybody. I failed. Listen, maybe you're listening on the radio. Don't feign if it happens. Just become a fool for Christ's sake and keep right on loving the Lord. There's a lot of them that are sick out there. There's a whole lot of pastors out there probably that have fallen. They don't know what to do. Become a fool for Christ's sake. That's what to do. Undeserved slander may come, preacher. Defamation of character may come. David prayed for deliverance from spiritual disappointment. You ever been spiritually disappointed? You know what you have to do? The Bible says, keep your eyes fastened on the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of your faith. Keep your eyes fastened on your encouragement, the Lord. So did you learn anything tonight from David? Let me review it kind of quickly here in verse 6 then. Surely, surely every man walketh in a vain show. I said he's a shadow walking among the shadows. Surely they are disquieted and vain and they fret and they fume about nothing. Yes. He heaped up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. It says that he's busy with a rake, but there's another that's busy with a fork. What the miser gathers, then the spendthrift scatters. In verse 7, and now, Lord, what wait I for? Do I wait to gather riches for another to squander? Do I wait to worry myself? Do I wait here to walk as vanity among vanities? No, Lord, I wait for you. My hope is in you. My vision is Jesus Christ. My desire, my heart, my high calling is the Lord Jesus Christ. Deliver me then from my transgressions and finality. Because you see, when he gets close to God, he gets a good look at himself. That's why I just can't imagine how some of these preachers can preach. And I hear them on the radio all the time. I say they have not seen themselves as they really are in the light of God. Make me not a reproach, finally, of the foolish. I was dumb. I opened not my mouth because thou didst it. He didn't complain under affliction. And better yet, he didn't complain under the rod of God. Whatever God's purpose was, even if he never knew, he wasn't disquieted in his spirit. Though that thou slay me, yet will I trust you. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, I hope you heard this message tonight. God, I hope you did. I hope you heard it on the radio. It just reminds me of something I read here in Job. Can I read it? You probably say, well, it's disconnected from the message, but listen. In Job 3, why is light given to him who suffers? And life to the bitter of soul. Who long for death, but there is none, and dig for it more than for hidden treasures. They're really digging for it. Who rejoice greatly, they exult when they find the grave. Why is light given to a man whose way is hidden, and whom God has hedged in? Oh, God. There is a reason, and oh, Job, let me answer. It's just a parade. It's just a passing by. The world says a passing fancy. They really quote a lot of scripture and don't even know. A passing by. Don't you be disquieted in your spirits. Don't you get upset over things that are temporal, because it's just merely passing by. Don't you be fearful over health. It'll pass. Don't you worry about friends that are going astray. It'll pass. They're all in the same parade. Saved and unsaved are in a parade, but we're all vanishing. And pretty soon you'll just be a little, you know how they have them things in the hospital? Bleep, 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 for the heart nails. Bleep, 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 bleep. And it goes, bleep, bleep. They pull a plug. They turn the light on. And the next day, busy, 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 worry, 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 worry. And downtown the traffic is going, the horns are blowing, and everything goes on just like nothing happened. It's just a parade. It's just a passing over. Put your eyes on what Jesus is saying to you right now. Put your eyes on the eternal things. Where were you when I was sick? Where were you when I was in a prison? Where were you when I was a widow? Where were you? Oh, I was busy with my boyfriend. I didn't want nobody to touch him or look at him. Oh, I love him so. I love him so. I'm so jealous of him. I don't want anybody to touch him. Get your hands up. I looked in the album, I seen a little boy in there, cute little boy sitting on a cedar chest, his leg crossed, smiling at me. It was me. That passed. And I seen another little boy in short pants, real skinny little legs, about 8 years old, and a tooth out in front. That passed. Then I seen a boy that was about 14 years old with one of these, Mr. Cool coats on. In boys' school, and I thought I'd never live through that. That passed. And the jail and the alcohol and all that junk, and it all passed. It was part of the parade. But now I'm in step with Jesus. And I haven't got my eyes on the temple. I'm not looking back. I'm looking forward towards the high mark to calling in Christ. Because my light affliction is but for a moment. And God has given me more light. And God has given me more victory. For the darkness that comes upon us right now, God is giving us light and victory every day. If we take our eyes off of the temporal things and we put our eyes on the eternal things of God. When you're looking, a guy asked me the other day, he says, do you care for people? I said, brother, the most important thing that we should do is invest in people. They are the most precious thing there is. Without people, there is nothing. And that's the way the Lord feels about you tonight. You're His everything underneath the sun. You're my everything underneath the sun. You're my everything rolled up into one. Huh? When you pass over and you become invisible, the first one you're going to see when them angels take you up is the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory, glory, glory. I've had a peak, see? That's why I ain't fearing. I've had a peak. I've had a foretaste of glory divine. That's why you see me right down here right now. So if you're till a tear.